is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
South Caucasus, Central Asia, that vast region between Europe and China. That is the future of Eurasia. However, right now, there are conflicts across the landscape, and the conflicts may or may not be related, I think they are, to the crisis in Europe over Ukraine conflict. I welcome the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom, Elin Suleymanov, and our colleague, Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to comment first on the crisis in and around the South Caucasus these last weeks in particular because of renewed violence between some elements of the military associated with Armenia and the army of Azerbaijan, which you'll recall, I've traveled to Azerbaijan several times in these last years, and most recently in December of 20. I was in Azerbaijan, in Ganja, in the edges of Nagorno-Karabakh to congratulate everyone to resolving the conflict of decades old, because at that point, the refugees, the people who had been forced out of their homes in the 1990s, were looking to return to Nagorno-Karabakh. There were Russian peacekeepers in place. There was conversation between Yerevan and Baku and between Ankara and Moscow about this region. And now, Mr. Ambassador and Brenda, I read the most recent we have here in the United States. Russia, U.S. aligned on de-escalating Armenia-Azerbaijan. It begins, despite finding themselves on opposing sides in Ukraine and elsewhere, the United States and Russia have found a corner of the map where they still largely agree, stopping another conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan. There's a photograph accompanying this dated September 19th, within these last days, at the UN meeting, showing Antony Blinken hosting a meeting of Armenian and Azerbaijan officials to talk about this present conflict. Present, I believe, is the foreign minister of Armenia and the foreign minister of Azerbaijan. Brenda, I come to you first because you tell me there's been a more recent meeting of these same dignitaries. Is that correct, Brenda?
Washington has launched a real diplomatic initiative to try to resolve the Azerbaijan-Armenia conflict. So not just the meeting in the UN, but this week we also saw U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan host the National Security Advisors of Azerbaijan and of Armenia, you know, also in Washington for an additional round. And it sounds as if the U.S. is hoping to, you know, continue and have additional activity in this track.
So they're continuing their conversations. Mr. Ambassador, help me understand, because things were so positive when I visited in December of 20, and then this violence. What is driving it? How do we explain it? Good evening to you, Mr. Ambassador.
Good evening, John. Always a pleasure to be with you. Good to hear the voice of our good friend, Dr. Schaefer. Indeed, we're grateful to the United States for a renewed push for peace. I appreciate myself that our American colleagues, be it Secretary Blinken, be it National Security Advisor Sullivan, they're pushing both sides to come together to the table. And a very interesting comment, a statement made by Jake Sullivan was that the United States supports time-bound specific negotiations to achieve peace agreement. That's exactly what we want. Azerbaijan has offered five-point roadmap to a peace agreement to Armenia, which includes mutual recognition of territorial integrity, non-use of force, opening of communications, all the positive things you described. Armenia said that it will accept that, but no practical measures have been made. No practical steps have been done to actually move forward to a peace agreement. As long as that peace agreement is not there, as long as we have communications still locked between the two countries, and as long as there is no delimitation, unfortunately, this kind of conflicts and flare-ups and hostilities perhaps are inevitable. But we should not lose the sight of a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that a peace agreement for Armenia and between Armenia and Azerbaijan is inevitable. This is in the best interest of Azerbaijani people, best interest of the Armenian people, and the best interest of the region as a whole. And I would dare to say it's the best. It is in the best interest of the United States, our European friends, including the United Kingdom, Russia, and others. So why not?
Mr. Ambassador, everything was going in the right direction, but you indicate, I believe from your remarks, that there have been provocations over this period. It's more than a year since I visited. Has there been a steady deterioration? Is there something that happened that triggered this latest round of violence?
Unfortunately, in mid-September, about 12th and 13th of September, there was another provocation from the Armenian side, laying mines, landmines on Azerbaijan territory. You know, it's an ongoing problem. You've seen the outcome of it yourself, the danger it poses to civilians. And that led to a major outbreak of hostilities, the largest one, as a matter of fact, since 2020. But again, the fact that the ceasefire was reached within 8 hours shows that neither side perhaps wants to ignite a greater war. I think Azerbaijan definitely doesn't want that. Azerbaijan today brings economic development into this area, which was previously occupied. We repatriate the internally displaced persons back to their homes in the liberated areas. We want to resume negotiations on opening of the communication lines with Armenia. So it's definitely not in the interest of Azerbaijan to threaten this progress in any way. And I believe in the long term, it's not an interest of Armenia. I mean, there's no other option. So yes, there's been some setbacks. But once again, I am hopeful, not only because the foreign ministers are speaking, not only because the national security advisors are speaking to each other, but also because the logic of our relationship with the region, and as a matter of fact, the turmoil and volatility in the wider region shows once again that there is no other option but a peace agreement.
Professor, I come to you because you and I have talked over the years about the criticality of Azerbaijan, of Baku in particular, for the success of the whole region, not just the South Caucasus, but for Central Asia, because of what it has to sell, natural resources. And I'm looking right now at oil and natural gas. That was then. This is now. Those two products are vital to the success, or at least the non-failure, of the European Union in its conflict with Russia. Is it too suspicious to think that this violence or this provocation is linked in some fashion to the success of Azerbaijan and Europe to negotiate increased natural gas through the Southern Gas Pipeline? And increased natural gas could mean everything to Europe in these next months.
I mean, the timing of the reflaring up is quite suspicious. If we recall, 2 months before the opening of the Southern Gas Corridor, the commercial operations in October 2020. So we had suddenly Armenia attacking Azerbaijan 300 kilometers north of Karabakh, you know, north of the line of what had been the line of contact for close to 30 years during the Armenian occupation period. Out of the blue, you know, in a northern area, but right on the hills above the Southern Gas Corridor, energy and transit corridor to Europe. And, you know, it that didn't seem, just by chance, again, something exceptional for the conflict. Here we're seeing as Azerbaijan tries to get a few extra BCM of gas out to Europe during this very difficult period for Europe. You know, suddenly we're seeing, you know, re-flaring up of the conflict. And again, like Armenia setting mines, you know, in the area, you know, that it no longer occupies, and deaths emanating from these mines. So it also seems quite striking that, you know, just when Azerbaijan tries to get more gas into Europe, there's a reflare up of the conflict.
Right. And of course, Brenda, we have to acknowledge there have been what are said to be sabotage on infrastructure, the attacks on Nord Stream 1 and 2 in the North Sea announced in these last hours. That would be consistent with what you just pointed to, a suspicious attack near the pipeline that moves out of Azerbaijan through Georgia onto Turkey onto Europe. Mr. Ambassador, you are now in London and you're familiar with the United Kingdom taking a strong stance on the conflict in Ukraine and the confrontation with Russia. Is it a concern to the security forces in the United Kingdom, in NATO, that Azerbaijan be safe, be secure, and not be under threat because it wants to help Europe?
You're absolutely right. United Kingdom has taken a very thoughtful position on many international issues. I think that coincides with a new vision for global Britain, post-Brexit vision. It is yet to be seen how it actually realizes itself in the modern world. But we do have a very strong partnership with the United Kingdom. I would also say that it's very important that we get support from the United Kingdom, just as we do from the United States, on issues like demining and removing the landmines in our part of the world. I think Azerbaijan and NATO have developed a very strong partnership over the decades, as a matter of fact. Of course, it's in the best interest of all our partners, not just the United Kingdom, but all of our partners, that Azerbaijan and our region remain safe and remain stable and continue moving towards regional integration and prosperity. Now, that the best way to move towards that is to support direct talks between Armenia and Azerbaijan in order to get a peace agreement. I think the work by the European Union and the United States with support of their partners and in some ways the communication which takes place in Moscow are all valuable contributors to this goal. There needs to be enough political will in Armenia to move forward. And it's understandable that it's difficult after the 3 decades of occupying neighbors' land. It's difficult to accept the reality of an independent statehood. As a matter of fact, one of ex-presidents of Armenia just a couple of days ago was speaking in Armenia saying, doubting whether they actually need independence or should they join Russia, for instance, in a single state. Now think about this: 31 years since declaring formal independence, fighting a war with Azerbaijan over our territory. Ex-president of Armenia calls for the base potential and eventual abandonment of Armenia's independence. I mean, this is of course a decision for Armenian people to make, but it shows the degree of confusion which exists. And the only way out of this confusion is a peace agreement with Azerbaijan and normalization with Turkey. And in our region, as you pointed out very correctly, the clouds are not very clear. There are storms and challenges existing throughout the wider region, be it to the south in Iran, be it to the north in Russia, and overall East European region. So I think the stability of our corridors, stability of our nation, stability of our neighbors, I think is of paramount importance to the Western partners we have.
Speaking with Elin Sulemanov, the ambassador from Azerbaijan to the United Kingdom, and Professor Brenda Schaefer, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. When we come back, the wider region and its place right now in the violent terms of Ukraine. What does it mean for Central Asia? What does it mean for Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan? What does it mean for Baku, this war? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.